The Senate has confirmed Anne Rung on a voice vote as the next administrator in the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. The office has gone since January without a confirmed leader, yet the administration has a number of procurement reforms in the oven. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins me with analysis of what Rung faces as she tries to improve the federal acquisition environment. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so she was confirmed in July, appointed in July, confirmed just now, not too bad. Was there much debate or discussion about her?
Actually, it was pretty straightforward. In fact, it sounded just like this.
The question is on the Rung nomination. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The nomination is confirmed.
And just like that, Anne Rung was the next OFPP administrator. Short, sweet, simple.
It sounded like there were about six people there.
I think there was one guy there.
It sounded like Harry Reid.
Now, she was actually one of eight nominees to receive approval yesterday. Along with Rung, the Senate confirmed David Radzinowski, the NASA CFO, Joseph Nimitz, the deputy administrator of FEMA, and Miranda Ballantyom to be Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Installations, Environment, and Logistics. They were just four of the about eight people who were confirmed. Now, Rung has been at OFPP since early June when she has been a senior advisor to Beth Cobert, the OMB Deputy Director for Management. So in many ways, she's going to hit the ground running, at least so says Roger Waldron, the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement.
She is uniquely positioned with regard to her new role as Administrator for Federal Procurement Policy. She spent a good amount of time at GSA, working with GSA's government-wide contracting programs. And she also, through that, she got to understand some of the challenges in that area, some of the challenges in interagency contracting, as well as, you know, getting to know insights into customer agencies and what the agencies are dealing with.
So like any time when there's a new OFPP administrator, the reaction to Rung's confirmation obviously is both positive and very optimistic. Senator Tom Carper is the chairman of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. He says OFPP is a small office with a big responsibility, and the leadership is critical to ensuring that the government has the proper framework in place to make smart financial decisions. Carper says Anne Rung is someone who has demonstrated terrific hands-on experience and has shown that a little common sense can save a lot of money. He's very confident that she'll lead the government to do more with fewer resources and get better results in the end.
All right, so there's a lot going on in the acquisition landscape, procurement, and the greater question of acquisition. What's she going to have to focus on first?
Well, I think she's going to continue the Obama administration's three priorities around acquisition: buying smarter, buying less, and, of course, improving the acquisition workforce. Dan Gordon is a former OFPP administrator and currently associate dean for government procurement law at the George Washington Law School in Washington. He says the acquisition workforce must continue to garner a lot of attention from OFPP.
We still are short. We're low in our numbers, but it's not only the number of bodies. We also need to strengthen training. Anne Rung and the people at DAU and the Federal Acquisition Institute, FAI, have worked on improving training. We have a lot more work to do there.
So this is a similar refrain I heard from everyone I spoke with for this story. Alan Shavakian is someone else. He's a senior vice president and counsel for the Professional Services Council. He says Rung's focus on the workforce must start with better aligning the Defense Department and the civilian agency definitions of really who or what acquisition workers are. Shavakian says DOD defines acquisition workforce more broadly than the civilian counterparts, and they include program and project managers, they include the entire buying activity, and it's just more than contracting personnel, but really anyone from creating the requirements to contractor closeout, so birth to death of a contract. Shavakian says OFPP could broaden the civilian agency's aperture and bring in more program management skills and similar professions, and that actually would make a big difference. But again, Shavakian goes back to that training issue. He says it's really where Rung will get the most bang for her buck.
Every administrator for the last decade has talked about the importance of strengthening the acquisition workforce. My view, a lot has been said and not a lot has been done. And so I'm hoping that she'll be able to seize the opportunity to build on some of the work that's already been started to move the new workforce, better training, better flexibility for that workforce.
Now, Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement says he'd like to see Rung include an industry perspective in that training as well.
One of the things that's missing, more so than I've seen in a long time, is a understanding or a sensitivity to how companies actually operate in the commercial marketplace. How, what does it mean to be in business? What are the considerations that a business looks at when it's going into a market, when it's trying to compete in a space, and when it's trying to deliver for a customer? You know, understanding the pain points of business, understanding, where there's opportunities to reduce those, because ultimately if you do that, you can get a better deal, you can get better value. That translates into a greater return for the customer agency and for the American taxpayer.
Now, Waldron also says that, in the short term, Rung should consider getting agencies to take more advantage of those acquisition workers that do exist in those centers of excellence around the government, such as GSA's FedSIM program.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Now, one of the big concerns in the contractor community, they basically hate it, but they don't say it out loud that way. I will. And that is strategic sourcing. What can Rung do to, she can't change the policy. That's where they're headed. But what can she do to maybe alleviate contractors' fears of this whole effort?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Tom. Hate is probably the good word for many of those companies that are being feel like they're being left out. But Rung's former agency, the General Services Administration, is running these programs for the administration and finding it very difficult for all the bid protests that keep coming year, month after month. And they're really having, they're almost a lot of fits and starts. And I think then there's the concerns about the impact of strategic sourcing on small businesses. In fact, I got a comment from Congressman Sam Graves. He's the chairman of the Small Business Committee. He says he actually hopes OFPP reevaluates their approach to strategic sourcing, and they should emphasize sustainable savings and a healthy industrial base that includes small contractors. Now, Graves is a Republican from Missouri. He also says that he hopes that Rung prioritizes the implementation of several contracting legislative reforms from Congress that he says are way overdue, such as those around contract bundling and more accountability for meeting small business goals. Those provisions were included in the Defense Authorization Bill from 2013. Now, along those lines of strategic sourcing, there's also a growing concern about contract duplication. Roger Waldron from the coalition says that he's about to survey his members to ask, is this anecdotal evidence about contract duplication real, or is it just talk? He believes right now that a lot more agencies are being more redundant with their contracts. Waldron says there are things that Rung could do to limit contract duplication, because it seems like OFPP's business case analysis requirement, which is something they put in 2-3 years ago now, really is not making a difference.
They've taken some steps to strengthen the FAR, to say consideration of, to provide some additional language on considering pre-existing vehicles before you go create something. But I think it needs to be strengthened even more. I think they've diluted the priorities for the GSA schedules, for example, and this is getting pretty technical, but in the FAR where it has priorities, sources of supply, I think that's something where they should elevate the GSA schedules and make it a priority, a higher priority, sort of reinstitute that aspect of role the schedules play. I think it's talking a lot about it as well and addressing that regulatory framework. And I think it's also talking to GSA about what it's doing. When GSA goes and creates its own new IDIQ for commercial office furniture, rather than using its own schedules contract, what message is GSA sending to customer agencies and to its contractors?
And that's just one example that Roger Waldron offered around contract duplication. I mean, he says he hears from his membership that they're spending money, hand over fist to really bid and go after these types of contracts. And it's a double-edged sword for vendors. We've talked about this a lot, Tom, where if they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. If they don't go after that contract, then they're cut out of a market. If they do, they're spending a ton of money. They may never get any business to pay back for that investment. So I think that is a growing issue, a growing concern around the government. I think one other area that Enron really should focus on, whether it's with strategic sourcing or more broadly around all these acquisition, really is the idea of communication. And as what I've heard from everyone I talk to is she should communicate, and then obviously communicate some more. In fact, Dan Gordon says there's one group that she really needs to pay a lot of attention to.
The only thing that I wish I could have done more of would be even more communication with the Hill. I think that we were very good with communicating with industry and with the executive branch agencies. Even more communication with the Hill could not have hurt and might have helped.
And I think that's great advice from one former OFPP administrator, Dan Gordon, to the new one that's starting her so-called quote-unquote first day today, Anne Rung.
All right, Jason, I have another question for you. You know, these administrations and often these strategic initiatives that they launch, and there were quite a number of them when the Obama administration came in with respect to pricing on services contracts, you know, the move toward firm fixed pricing, strategic sourcing, all of these things. They have an arc to them, and they tend to be like a missile. They really have a lot of thrust and height when they launch. And then they kind of peter out toward the end of 8 years of an administration. We saw that with the prior administration and the one before that. So what do you think Anne Rung can realistically hope to do in the couple of years she'll have?
I think there's the two areas she really should spend her most of her time are on, I think, are the workforce. There's, you know, this administration has done a better job of rebuilding the workforce, but it's still not, there's not enough people, and there's not enough training for those people. One of the issues that we saw with the furloughs and the government shutdown and the budget reductions because of sequestration is training got cut out. Now, as you heard Dan Gordon say, the Federal Acquisition Institute, the Defense Acquisition University have worked closer together, but I think she needs to really focus on this training issue. The other thing is she's going to have to deal with strategic sourcing. I think you're absolutely right, Tom, in the fact that people are upset. The Hill's obviously paying attention, and I think that's going to force the administration to maybe take a half a step back of strategic sourcing and say, can we broaden this? Can we just buy smarter in different ways, but does it have to be these government-wide contracts that, again, are so often in peril from protests?
Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thanks for that thorough report.
Always a pleasure.